to Mark chapter 15. And we're going to read a few verses over there. There's so much to pray for. I know we can't all remember everything, but I sing about Kim's mom praying. She's concerned about that, or Kim's mom's house selling. And so we'd ask you again to help us pray about that would sell. That would be a blessing. And remember her mom in your prayers. She's had a all right week. She moved to a new apartment and everything. And right there across from Brooks, and Abigail come down the mountain, I guess it was yesterday, and it had starting to rain. And Abigail come in, she's all concerned. She said, "What's going on up at Nana's?" And there was a bunch of motorcycles had pulled in there and just filled her porch up all the way across through there. And Kim called up there and said, "Are you having a party up there?" And I guess it's just getting in out of the rain, trying to get their rain gear on, but that's a little different for her. You know, she's been up at where she lived you just have to be going there on purpose. You just wouldn't wander by. So we are concerned about her a lot, and we desire your prayers for her. But in Mark chapter number 15, let's read verses 7 through 15. And that's how we'll get started tonight. The Bible said, "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified." And this is lesson number 85 that we've been studying in the book of Mark. What I want to try to preach on tonight or teach on tonight is just simply the subject of Barabbas. We're going to look at Barabbas in the Bible. Last week, if you remember, in verses 1 through 6, we dealt mainly with Pilate and how that Pilate had dealt with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pilate is a picture back there that each individual person in the whole wide world has to do something with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're presented with the gospel, when you are presented with the Lord Jesus, you have to do something. And Pilate, of course, he did the wrong thing, but he had to do something with Christ. And the Bible said in Matthew 27 and verse 22 that Pilate said this, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And he tried several different things to get Jesus off of his hands, out of his jurisdiction, so that he wouldn't have to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent him to Herod. Herod sent him back. We dealt with that just a little bit last week. He tries something else. He tries to present Barabbas for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that doesn't work. And so we see that that's what we're going to look at tonight. If you look back at chapter 15, verse number 6, the Bible said this, "Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner whomsoever they desired." And it also talks about that in verse number 8. "And the multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them." And so what Pilate would do, And this was not a Jewish tradition. There's no reference to it anywhere else in the Bible. This seems to be a Roman tradition, something that the Roman governor, maybe even Pilate himself, had instituted, that every year at the Passover, he had released a prisoner unto them, sort of a goodwill gesture, something to please the people, something to keep him in good graces with the Jewish people. And that's what they were referring to, this releasing of the prisoner. Now, Pilate had a choice to make, but we're going to see also that the people had to make a choice. They're going to have to choose between Barabbas or the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only did Pilate have to make a choice what he was going to do, the people have to make a choice. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 18, and they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man and release unto us Barabbas." And so we see that the people had to make a choice as well. And I have read several places, and I've heard people talk about, and even Jewish people talk about, that even today in Israel, that when the Jewish people refer to Jesus Christ, they refer to him as this man. And so we find that referred to in the Bible in Luke 23 and 18. Away with this man and release unto us Barabbas. And they still refer to Jesus Christ as this man or that man. They don't even want to speak his name. But we're going to look tonight specifically at Barabbas. And his name, Barabbas, it means this. It means son of a father. Well, that could be anybody. That's every son. Son of a father is what his name means. His name is mentioned 11 times in the Bible. 11 in the Bible is a number that speaks sometimes of judgment. His name is mentioned one time just by reference. And we see Peter preaching over in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 14. Peter said, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." He's referring to Barabbas when he said that they took the Lord Jesus, the Holy One, the Just One, and they killed him. And instead of the Lord Jesus, they desired a murderer to be given unto them. That was a reference to Barabbas and what we're reading about in the Bible here. So maybe you've heard Barabbas preached on. I don't think I've ever heard a message on Barabbas. I have never preached on Barabbas, but who is Barabbas as we look in the Bible? What can we learn about him? What can we learn from him? And I'm going to give you just three things tonight. Number one, we're going to see his sin. First of all, we see his sin. Verse number 6 and verse number 7, the Bible said, "Now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner." Now, if you've ever been to the jails, if you've ever been to the prisoners, what you'll find is there's a lot of them that will say, "Well, I'm innocent. Well, I didn't do it. I didn't do anything." But there's a lot of them that did do something, and that's why they're a prisoner. And Barabbas is not there like the Lord Jesus Christ. Barabbas is there because Barabbas had done something. Barabbas was there as a prisoner because he was a bad guy. And he had gotten in a lot of trouble and he had done a lot of wicked things in his life. It's interesting to me that when we think about Barabbas, there are two prisoners under consideration here. One was the son of the Father, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And one, Barabbas, was the son of a father. One was there justly. Barabbas was there. He deserved to be there. In verse number 7 it said, "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection." So we see here some of the reasons why Barabbas was in prison and why he was laying there bound, the Bible says, with them that had made insurrection. To made insurrection, it means this. It means a rising against. And he had been involved in some sort of rebellion or rising up against the Roman authorities, against the Roman government. The Jewish people were under the authority of Rome at that time, and they didn't like it. And you know, a lot of times there's things in our government that we don't like. But if somebody comes along and rises up against the government, what's it do? It makes it a lot of times harder on everybody. And a lot of times it makes things worse than they were already before. And a lot of people have to pay for one person or a group of persons' sins that they've committed. And so he was an insurrectionist, which means that he had been a rebel against the Roman authorities. The Bible says in Romans 23 and verse number 19 that he was there for sedition. Now, sedition is this. Sedition is a tumultuous assembly of men rising in opposition. So what was Barabbas? He was somebody. He had went around and he had stirred people up. And he got people to come together and to rebel against or oppose the government. So that's insurrection, sedition. That was why he was in prison, or some of the reasons why he was in prison was because of his, what we might say, his political activities. But also in verse number 7, the Bible said that made insurrection with him. And I'll say right here, there was a bunch of them. We don't know how many, but there were several. And they were all in prison together. And the Bible said in verse number 7, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Now, that's different than self-defense. But if somebody's committed murder, that means that they've went out in cold blood and they've killed somebody. And that's what he did. He had murdered somebody. Maybe they had murdered several people. The Bible does not say, but he was there as a murderer as well. And also the Bible tells us in John chapter number 18 and verse number 40, it says this, now Barabbas was a robber. That means he was a thief. He's somebody that had stolen off of other people. And so it's interesting when we come down to Pilate here and he's talking about releasing a prisoner at the feast. Wouldn't you people like to have Jesus back or Barabbas? Figuring nobody's going to want Barabbas. Surely they'd rather have the Son of God. Surely they'd rather have Jesus, who had never done anything wrong to anybody. But now Barabbas over here. Pilate says, if you want a prisoner, you can have Barabbas. Pilate thinking nobody would want Barabbas. There should have been, if you think about this, there should have been some Jews out there that would have said, we don't want Barabbas. Look what Barabbas, look at the trouble he's caused us. Look at the punishment that it has been brought upon all of us. Look how some of us have lost our freedoms and lost our ability to move around and do our business because of what Barabbas done. Buddy, Barabbas is a troublemaker. Barabbas has caused us a whole lot of problems. We don't want Barabbas back. Got rid of. Do you notice nobody? The Bible said when he come to who do you want? They all cried out for Barabbas. It looks to me like somebody in all of that crowd would have cried out and said, we don't want Barabbas. Barabbas killed my husband. Barabbas killed my boy. Don't you think somewhere in all that crowd there'd have been a mother or a father or a brother or a cousin or a friend that would have known what Barabbas had done and they would have said, you know, we don't want Barabbas. He's a murderer. Barabbas killed somebody. Nobody said that. They said, crucify him, talking about the Lord Jesus, and they said, give us Barabbas. See, every person has to make a choice of who they're going to choose. Are they going to choose the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are they going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ? It looks to me like somebody in all of that crowd would have said, we don't want Barabbas. He stole my chickens. He stole my, I was traveling down the road and a bunch of men robbed us as we were going along. Barabbas was in on that. The Bible says that he was a robber. We know according to the Bible that there were other thieves there as well. They were going to be crucified.
both sides of the Lord Jesus were malefactors, thieves. What did they do with thieves in those days? Thieving, if you ask me, thieving is one of the worst things that somebody can do. I mean, you ought to be able to go off and not lock your doors and not worry about your cars and your stuff and all that, but you can't do that. There's people out here, they'll rob you blind. They'll steal what you got. That's an aggravating thing to think about. And that's the kind of person that Barabbas was. He was a robber. He was a thief. He had stole things off of people and gotten things unjustly. But that is how humanity is. You see, Barabbas was a bad guy. He was a sinner. He's proven he deserved to be there. He was a sinner. Second of all, I look at this, I think about this. If we read down verses 8 through 11, and I'm not dealing with this like I normally do, but I just want to read these verses. He was symbolic of something. Barabbas is symbolic. The Bible said in verse number 8, and the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. And Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Now we could say a little bit about that, the influence of the chief priests. Maybe some of them did think, you know, we don't want Barabbas, but the influence that people have over other people. And the chief priest influenced them. The chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Barabbas is a symbolic individual in the Bible. Barabbas is symbolic of all of mankind. He's symbolic of us. He's symbolic of good people, bad people. He's a symbol. He's a type of everybody. Let me point out how he is a symbol or a type of all mankind. First of all, in his condition as a sinner. He was a sinner. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that includes all of us. And some people have a hard time believing that. They think the Pope. I heard somebody saying something a while back, and they was talking about the Pope, and boy, they thought he was just one of the holiest men that ever walked on the face of the earth. I'm reading a book. That's where I read it, in a book. And I thought to myself, he's a sinner just like everybody else. He's no more holy, no more righteous. The Bible said, for all have sinned. Preachers sinned, good godly grandmas sinned, and grandpas and people that you think never would. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's a sinner, a type of all mankind. In verse number 7, the Bible said, which lay bound. He was in bondage. And do you know, before you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what all of us were. We're in the bondage of our sins. We're in the bondage of Satan. We're a bond slave unto the devil. We are not free. We don't belong to God. We're in bondage. That's how Barabbas was. And Barabbas was condemned to die. You know, people have a wrong idea of dying. They think when they die, they're going to go to heaven and knock on the pearly gates, and St. Peter's going to meet them and weigh out their good and their bad in a big old set of scales. There's no such thing as that in the Bible. The Bible says this in the book of John chapter 3. He that believeth not is condemned already. If you're not saved, if a person is not saved by the grace of God, they're condemned as where they sit. They're condemned to die while they are living, just like Barabbas was condemned to die while he was living, while he was in bondage, while he was in sin. I vaguely remembered hearing a song one time about Barabbas. And I began trying to find that song. There is a song, a gospel song. And the name of it is I Am Barabbas. And it's about what happens here. And it tells the story about Barabbas, first of all, how that he was a murderer and how that he was there because of his sin. But it says in that song, it says, I was sentenced to die because of my sin. And so Barabbas is the type of all mankind, because all mankind have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. If somebody don't believe you that all men are sinners, just try to get them to explain how come the graveyards keep filling up. And everybody's eventually going to die. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death. The proof that we all sin is that we all die. We're all going to die. Why? Because we're sinners. Just like Barabbas was. And so Barabbas is symbolic of all of mankind. We are all tonight Barabbases. We're all like Barabbas. We are like Barabbas in our choice. Or in the choice that was made. In verse 11, but the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. We're like Barabbas in our choice sometimes. Sometimes people, they start talking about theological things. And they talk about, do you have free will? Do you believe we have free will? I believe we have free will. God gives us a free will. God gives us the ability to choose. Do you know when we have the ability to choose what we usually choose? We choose Barabbas. They chose Barabbas. They had free will. They could have chose the Lord Jesus Christ, or they could have chose Barabbas. And when the possibility was placed before them, they said, give us Barabbas and crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, in our sinful choice, will choose the wrong over the right. That's where your free will get you. It'll get you in hell. Because sinful man doesn't want anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And sinful man will choose another sinful man over the Son of God. And that's what they did. And if you don't believe that people will choose the wrong over the right, just look at our leaders. What do we have in our leadership positions in America a lot of times? Well, we sure have people who commit insurrection. Right, make the people rise up. Well, I'll tell you, in America, we can't agree on which sock to put on first. I don't know if it's ever been as divisive as it is right now. They said when Obama was elected that he would draw the people together, and that is exactly the opposite of what is taking place. We're more divided now than we were 8 years ago. And I doubt seriously the other two are going to do much to bring our country together. But no matter who gets elected in the fall, I'm telling you what will take place. Going to drive us farther. We'd rather have a seditionist than we would the Lord. Barabbas was a murderer. And old Bill and Hillary, they've got a line of dead bodies behind them a mile long. Did you know that? I seen a little funny thing yesterday. It said the FBI, the leader of the FBI, he said, I know that Hillary done wrong, but I don't want to mysteriously disappear. So he recommended no charges. He didn't say that. They was just referring to all the people around Hillary and Bill Clinton that have mysteriously died through the years. It's been a lot of them. Really look into it. And then a robber. Barabbas was a robber. He was a stealer. He was a thief. And our government's full of that. People would rather have that. You say, we don't have anything to choose from. We've got exactly what we deserve. as a nation, because whenever somebody good seemingly comes along, people don't want the good. People don't want a born-again Christian. America wouldn't stand somebody that would stand up and say, you know, we need God. We need to get back to the Bible. We've lost our love for the Lord. We've offended God in our morality and in our choices, and we just need to get back to the Lord. You think our country'd choose that? They'd say crucify. They'd say give us Barabbas. The choice that they made for Barabbas is symbolic of the choice of mankind over choosing evil, over good, choosing the ways of the devil over the ways of the Lord. So Barabbas is symbolic of a lot of things, of some things. But there's a real blessing in this, and that's what I want to point out tonight. There is his substitute. His substitute in verses 12 through 15. The Bible said this, and Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. See this is a mob that is out of their mind. They don't even give reasons anymore. You got to give a little bit of credit to Pilate. He at least tried for a little bit. Why? What evil hath he done? But they don't even, that's how a mob is. They just cry out the more, crucify him, crucify him. And verse number 15, and so Pilate, willing to consent the people, release Barabbas unto them, and deliver Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. His substitute. Now, look how things change. Look at, in a very short period of time, how drastically Barabbas' condition changes. In verse number 7, the Bible said, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made an insurrection with him. First time we see Barabbas, he's in jail. He is bound. He's on death row. Look how quickly his life changes. The Bible said in verse 15, and so Pilate, willing to consent the people, released Barabbas unto them. Now I want to think just a little bit about Barabbas. I don't know how close Barabbas was to all the commotion that was going on around the Lord Jesus, but I do know this, Barabbas knew that Barabbas was in trouble. And Barabbas knew that Barabbas was going to die. And if you're that close to death and you hear this commotion, or maybe you do, maybe you don't, but you know your ear's going to be fine-tuned. What's going on out there? There's been noise. There's been something going on all night long. Remember how long this night was? Early the next morning, Barabbas surely knows that his days are numbered. Maybe even today was the day that he was supposed to be crucified. Barabbas lay there and he's bound and he's condemned to die. And no doubt he hears the soldiers' footsteps echoing down the corridor. And I can just imagine in my mind one of them big old keys going in a lock to Barabbas' door. And the lock undoing, and maybe the big bar comes off. I don't know exactly how the cells were made or like that. But Barabbas laying there and he hears his name. Barabbas, come here. Come here to me. What do you think went through Barabbas' mind? I'd say what went through Barabbas' mind is, boy, I've dreaded this. The day's come. Oh, I wish I could go back. I wish I'd have another chance to go back. I'd live my life different, but now the day has come and I got to pay for my sins. Barabbas, come here. Come here to me. Here comes Barabbas over to the door and he's going a thousand things through his mind, and that soldier said something about going free. Can you imagine that? What a turn of events in Barabbas's. And maybe Barabbas looks at him, what did you say? What did you say? Did you say something about going free? I'm supposed to die. I've been dreading this day. What are you talking about? Oh, Barabbas, you're going free. Maybe that Roman soldier would say, oh, Barabbas, you're the luckiest man in the whole wide world. You're going free today. Have you ever thought about that when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, that there was two other thieves? You ever thought about that cross in the middle? Probably should have been Barabbas on there. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified between two thieves. There were three men crucified on that day. Barabbas would have been. Whether that day or another day, we don't know, and the Bible doesn't say, so I'm not going to say that, but I do know this. As we study the Bible, that the Lord Jesus was Barabbas' substitute. Barabbas should have been there. He deserved to be there. He had sinned. He had committed murder. He had stolen off of people. Nobody would protest Barabbas being there, but Barabbas had a substitute. And that substitute was the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I tonight are like Barabbas in the fact that we also are sinners. And we deserve to die. And once upon a time we lay bound in the bondage of sin. But thank the Lord for a substitute. You know, sometimes we talk about the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We use these words and these phrases. But have you ever thought what that really means? To be a substitute means that somebody takes your place. Somebody goes in your place. And you didn't have to go. I remember when the Gulf War started, and I was, and our whole everybody that I worked with, our squadron, had to think for a minute what they were called, but they were all called to go. And I remember us all standing there in line. We've trained for this the whole time. What do you do when you're in the military? You train for war. Your purpose. And so you keep your bags packed and you keep a list of what needs to be done and who needs to be called and all of these things. And that's a very tense time. And they called all of us up, and I remember it being at nighttime, and I remember standing there in line, and there's all this anxiety and people talking about what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. And they got to me. See, they'd already shipped all our stuff back to the United States, and to them I was gone. So I told them my name, and they looked at it and they said, get out of here. You're not going. You're already transferred back to the States, although I hadn't left yet. But poor somebody went in my place. You know, they ridiculed me as I turned around and walked. No, I've just done what they told me to do. And they said, oh, you're lucky and all this stuff. I said, I've been here 3 years. But somebody had to go. And so somebody died in our place, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, talking about God, hath made him, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When we talk about he died in our place, he died as our substitute, that's what we mean. Somebody had to die, and it could only be one. It had to be the Lord Jesus Christ, and so he's our substitute. And if I was a singer, I'd sing that song, I am Barabbas. It's a blessing. I'm not a singer, but it's got a good message to it, if you've ever heard it. And so we think about Barabbas. He's a picture of all of us. As bad as he was, and as much as he deserved to die, he didn't die. Do you know the Bible does not record that Barabbas ever said anything about it? be interesting to find out one of these days, did Barabbas realize what was going on? Did he realize the substitute? Did he get saved? It'd be nice if we got to heaven and old Barabbas was there, wouldn't it? See, that's a picture of the grace of God. He didn't deserve to be set free, but he was. And that's what the grace of God is. We don't deserve to be set free, but that's what the grace of God does. It sets old sinners free. One of my favorite verses is in John 8. If the Son therefore shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. I'm thankful for our substitute tonight. And so there's more in that passage of Scripture we'll look at as we go on, but we're coming right down to the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified, and it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing to study out. And so we're on holy ground when we come to it. And Lord willing, next time we'll get into verse number 16. But I appreciate your good attention tonight. And